Welcome to the next episode of the Pre-Order Power Hour.
Yeah, we're back. Wow.
It's lovely to have you guys.
Yeah. Oh, it's been forever since we've seen you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, we get to, almost like we can actually see you right now.
Yeah, well, right there. Or there. Or there. Or there.
I was like, I see you, Mike. Yeah. I see you, Tim.
but yeah, thank you guys for stopping by. Do you guys want to talk about just some, what media, I guess, we've been indulging in recently? It started off as like us talking about what comics we've been reading, but maybe some of us... Or
we have lives outside of
yeah,
comics.
Yeah, we do.
Maybe
we
we're slacking cool. a little bit. Tim, what about you?
So just catching up on some manga, Demons of the Shadow Realm, some new series by the creator Fullmetal Alchemist, though getting back into video game binging, playing a lot of Suda 51 games.
I've actually been playing more games too recently because of the Fallout show.
Ooh,
I've been, me and my girlfriend have been going through Fallout 4, and I've been playing Fallout New Vegas separately. Nice. So that's always a great time. And then what I've been watching, I have stopped watching it, but I need to get back on it. Daredevil. I've been going through Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Trying to catch back up.
Yeah. Same. Well, I'd seen it before, but my girlfriend hasn't seen it. We're like halfway, a little over halfway through season two.
Yeah.
But and then I just like in the last 2 days started reading House of Brainiac. That is like what I've been, I guess, we've been reading. Which is, the first issue is pretty good. I'm like halfway through the second issue right now, which is the Superman issue. First one was in Action Comics. And it's fun. It's also got Lobo. So anything with Lobo, I'm going to always have some fun with.
Oh, dude, yeah. Aren't they doing like a retcon with the Zarnians?
Well,
or something like that, yeah.
That, so all the Zarnians
they're
are...
They're not dead.
Well, it's that at some point in Zarnian history, like in the past, Brainiac went to Zarnia and took a town.
Oh, that's... No, that actually makes sense.
Yeah, all of Zarnia is destroyed. It's just that like this has been like a bunch that he's had locked up.
Yeah, it's like the bottled cities.
So did they already know what Lobo did?
They
or did
heard
Brainiac
about
like,
Lobo.
Yeah,
told them.
I think I don't know if they. I think Brainiac, because it seems like they know. So I think Brainiac is the one who like told them about it and stuff.
Which makes sense. I mean, that's honestly just good writing right there. Just
bring
back some old stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's like
profit.
One of the Zarnians is like the general, and like Lobo was like, this guy was the original main man. Like shit like that. So they're trying to like build it up to be like
what? And Lobo bigged up somebody else?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And it's like a bald looks like a bald Lobo with like a big beard.
Damn,
like, it looks like pirate
like Kimbo Slice.
God. God.
Well, speaking of Daredevil, I for the first time watched the 2003 Daredevil movie starring Ben Affleck. And I will not lie. That shit was so much fun.
Did you watch the regular?
Unfortunately, I only found out about the directors app because I watched it on Disney Plus, and
it was the regular cut.
Yeah. And then Ramon informed me about the director's cut, and I watched a video about the director's cut, and I really would like to watch the director's cut because as it was, I thought it was a lot of fun. What that movie had, which I think a lot of superhero movies are lacking currently, is sauce. And let me tell you, Mark Steven Johnson, he had the sauce with that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Despite how many, problems with the studio and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like,
can you explain the sauce?
Absolutely. So it was definitely like that 2000s. Camp that I feel like the Raimi trilogy really kind of birthed. I feel like
did you like the playground fight?
I did not like the playground fight, but I will tell you, from the intro for that movie is so dope. It's so hard. There's so many hard shots in that movie that is it a perfect movie? No, but as a Daredevil fan, I enjoyed it a lot, and it only really just made me want to rewatch the Netflix series again for like, I think this might be the third time, but I love that series so much, so I'm dead ass gonna do that.
And even though he kills, it does lead to like one of the hardest lines.
It's a silly death. I put in my Letterboxd review. It's interesting. It's funny how Ben Affleck played two superheroes with famous no kill rules and viciously murder criminals as said hero. But I feel like the Daredevil one had the sauce.
It did. You see, you see that light at the end of the tunnel? That's not heaven. It's a sea train.
I'll give him some brownie points for that.
And the introduction was just like, oh man, Daredevil was here. How do you know? What's
yeah. that? It's like, it's just the little, yeah. it's just the small things that
I'm trying to remember.
I always picture like, is he like listening to the gasoline?
Yeah. Or
like how much time did he waste on that?
Yeah, like
it's not about that. It's just the fact that he took the time.
And he did it.
Yeah, and it was just like precise, perfect, like logo.
And so it's yeah, just
it's so.
Watch the movie.
You know what else has the sauce? X-Men.
And hey, we'll talk about X-Men kind of leads us into our first book.
Yeah, the new X-Men.
Well, we're starting with Marvel, and then that first Marvel book is X-related.
Oh.
It's X-Force. X-Force is going to be the first book we're talking about. Yep. I think that's going to be one of the first books coming out for like the new X-Men stuff.
Uncanny and X-Force.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
NYX. And like four? No, two.
When's the X-Men dropping? I would think they drop at the same time.
I think it's a little bit before.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. So for the ones we're talking about today, for like what's going to be coming out, it's we're X-Force and Uncanny. Does that come out a little before?
Or? It might come out next month.
So by the time
because the final issue of the Fall of Krakoa
35. I just did the orders for that.
Yeah.
But by the time X-Force has come out, there will already be a couple of the X-Men books will have released, but. For when we're talking about, like when this episode will come out, the orders for those will already have passed. So we're gonna really focus on Uncanny, X-Force, and then NYX, which for X-Force looks pretty interesting.
I'm super excited for that one because it's
looks like a good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Forge is like putting together a new team,
which is wild because he's usually the support guy.
Yeah,
like,
and so he's the fact that he's. But it is kind of cool that he's holding.
He's like, I figured it out.
Yep.
Exactly. He was like, I need a perfect X-Force team. I got it, and then he did it. But,
and that's also like it makes sense because like they're the Black Op Wetworks team. They need that tech to like possibly hide. Oh, there's mutant activities with like this mission. So you get your gear and stuff. And I'm getting a bit of like the Dana Way Thunderbolts run.
I can see the all red and stuff.
The all red costume, the red theming, like
Deadpool
as well. I mean tenure for X-Force. Mm-hmm. Literally, this is like
it's a good team.
This is like his third X-Force team that he's on, I think.
He usually joins X-Force.
Yeah.
He just fits in the team so well.
No, it's
well,
because
they're the Black Ops team. It's okay to kill people.
Yeah. I mean, they hired him to kill dead presidents, so yeah.
Come on now. But,
movie.
And then on the team, you have Forge, Rachel Summers, Betsy Braddock, Sage, Surge, and then a new character named Tank.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Tank. Hey, welcome to Tank. Introducing.
Yeah, he produces propane particles and he knocks them.
It's me, I'm on the X-Force, Bobby.
Whoa!
it looks fun. It looks like
I'm gonna kick your ass, Forge. You put us on a suicide mission.
Forge, that's a suicide mission.
And then NYX is one of the other X-Men books that's gonna be releasing. That one, it's. So, even the description, it's not like an X-Men book. It's a book about mutants. And it's being a team put together by Kamala Khan. And it looks like Laura Kinney as Wolverine is on it. Because NYX was the first, because she's like a Harley Quinn situation, where she didn't originate in the comic books.
Yeah.
She showed up in X-Men Evolution, and then they introduced her in NYX.
As a two.
It
was a test tube baby.
Oh!
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was, she's an original character, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did it show? It showed up in X-Men Evolution because I think they did a thing with what was it? When did Evolution come out?
It was early 2000s.
I'm thinking of the 08, the Hulk versus Wolverine because I think they mention with that
see like one of the pods they passed.
Which again, X-23 showing up in X-Men Evolution makes sense because it was more like they're trying to do like high school and also. Mutant activities.
Yeah,
so
like how do you a younger Wolverine or a younger Wolverine type character?
And you can't because he's immortal.
Yeah, he's.
Unless they take place in like the 1800s. Logan going to school in like 1875.
Did you? So there's like a tweet going around where it's like, we need in like the new X-Men movie where like somebody mentions a war and just Wolverine says like, oh, I vaguely remember that.
I was there.
But
is Uncanny also going to be coming out around the time?
I think Uncanny will be coming out before X-Force.
Okay, cool. We don't really have to.
Yeah, because this list is usually 2-3 months ahead of actual release date.
Yeah.
But by the time you guys are listening to this, it's about like 2 months ahead.
Yeah. So the orders for that book are probably already out. But still, if by chance it isn't.
But we should have a good time.
Yeah, it looks great. It's a very simple X-Men team. Just it's like five. It's Wolverine, Gambit, Rogue, Jubilee, and
Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm. All your favorite Nightcrawler.
And they're in New Orleans, which is rad.
Dude,
which is dope. I love New Orleans.
It's pretty good.
And it's Gail Simone and David Marquez.
Yep.
David Marquez always puts out solid work. I feel like I feel like he's one of those guys. I feel like Gary Frank. They just like anytime they're on a book, like they're always gonna put in solid work.
What's David done in the past?
David did Killing Time, the Batman Killing Time with Tom King. He did the this might not be like one that's most popular, but he did a Defenders run with Brian Michael Bendis. In like the 2016, 2017, I think, which I heard was really good. He's just kind of all over the place, DC and Marvel, but he always puts out really solid work. So I think he's a good pick.
So we'll move on from the X titles, and we're gonna be moving on to one that I had no idea was gonna happen, but it makes sense because they had a book similar release a few months back, and that's Aliens versus Avengers.
Yeah.
Predator versus Wolverine, or Wolverine versus Predator, I forget which order it was.
Honestly, yeah, no. It was only a matter of time.
Only
a matter of time.
Which I'm assuming is a what if.
It's
alternate universe.
Yeah,
Marvel. Because it's not under the Marvel label. It's Marvel and 20th Century.
Yeah, it'll probably be like a Batman versus Predator type.
Exactly,
deal.
Yeah. And, all we really know about it, Xenomorphs are on Earth.
Yeah.
And the Avengers are stopping them. It is written by Hickman.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jonathan Hickman.
And the artist,
that's what I know.
Esad Ribic. He has done fantastic work. You know him from his work with Jason Aaron on Thor. He did Secret Wars with Jonathan Hickman back in 2015.
Yeah.
His stuff is fantastic. If you see, I think he also did an Eternals run with I'm forgetting the person who wrote that, but yeah, incredible work. I don't even know how I'd describe it. It's just like
Neil Gaiman.
No, that was Jared. But Asad Ribic's style, it's very kind of. Almost painterly.
Yeah, that was part of the Judgment Day event, right?
No, it was an earlier run for Eternals,
but honestly, very surprising lineup for like what almost seems more like, oh, this is kind of like a throwaway idea.
Yeah,
if Hickman's on a book, which I have learned,
yeah,
it's gonna sell and it's gonna be good. So I would definitely recommend putting yourself on that list because you're probably not going to be disappointed.
Yeah. So you guys want to put money that the Brood Urgo show up and like you know the Xenomorphs and the Brood Urgo like beef.
Dude,
like,
a Brood Xenomorph.
Oh,
like a facehugger hops on a Brood.
Dude,
what's gonna happen?
Yeah, that it's like weird Ouroboros effect or something. Like.
And then, that'll lead you
to like, hey, this is our turf.
That'll lead you to an actual what if book. It's gonna be what if Donald Duck / Wolverine.
They finally did it after just doing amazing Spider-Man what ifs covers that don't relate to amazing Spider-Man. They're finally doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's gonna not just include him as Wolverine. I'm like looking at the description right now. It's also gonna have old Duck Donald.
What?
We're gonna have Goofy Hulk, Mickey Hawkeye,
dude,
and
Incredible Yuck.
Yeah, I was
gonna
say the Incredible Yuck is
Pete
gonna be real.
Skull.
That's so.
Instead of Red Skull,
what?
Pete is gonna be Red Skull.
I need this story to have the same level of gore that has. Like, I want, like, Hulk's inbred children. I don't know. But I would just, like, seeing that in a cartoon style would just be so funny.
You can't do that to Max.
You can't do that. Like, they might do a joke where it's like, we don't know who, like, mom is.
Yeah, it would just be so funny.
But yeah, that's why. For me, it's like, it makes sense that they're going to do Donald. You got the Berserker Rage, and there you go. It's a perfect.
He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk.
So moving on from that guy, we're going to move on to, it's not exactly a sad old man genre, but it's close enough. So
yes!
It's the new Namor, by Jason Aaron.
Yep, so a lot of fighting in Atlantis, and Namor's in the hospital. On land!
Not only in the hospital, he's in prison. Prison hospital. He's all fucked up, and then he's in prison, and there's a whole Atlantean war going on.
Yeah,
he's
just stuck. Like, yeah, in prison, like, that is pretty much sad old man, the genre. Like, I'm excited for that. The sad old man genre continues. Like, I'm assuming it's tying into After the Fall of, like, X, because, you know.
Probably, yeah.
Because, you know, Namor, mutants, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, yeah. Maybe that's why he's, maybe somebody, like, maybe he got, like, assaulted because he's a mutant, and that's why he's, like, because in the A cover, it's him, but the A cover is specifically him in, like, prison pants, like, beat the fuck up with, like, tubes coming out of him and shit, like, in a coma. So
I thought he controlled the police.
That's what you get for sleeping with other people's wives, Namor.
Come on, Namor.
Can't do that.
Yeah, Commissioner found out. He's just like, he was like, I thought we were cool. Thought we were cool, Namor.
Put up, man.
Yeah.
He's like, my lady too?
I thought you said you'd sleep with everybody else's lady, except mine.
The rules don't apply to me. Or king.
Yeah, I have immunity on the land.
I'm really surprised they haven't tried to make him match the MCU, like, Namor aesthetic more yet.
They haven't made him brown yet? They haven't, like, gotten a skin tone? Which I hope they should do. That'd be sick. Like, nobody's gonna care. Like, if like one comic, they start drawing him a little darker, who cares?
Yeah, I mean,
just go for it.
Yeah, I mean, they've done that with Sunspot.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of like him being like the Hispanic
roots. I like the Mayan mythology.
It's
bad.
I mean, him being tan makes sense. He's a water dude. He's out in the sun.
Exactly.
It's just that kind of flavor that I feel like.
Either in a Speedo or a deep V cut like shirt. So he's going to get the deep V cut. Like, it needs to be used more. Like,
100%.
Yeah.
But okay. I think that should end Marvel for now.
That's all the Marvel books?
That's all the Marvel
books. Listen, like,
crazy.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, they're
doing a good time.
Yeah, I mean, Blood Hunt's going on. There's that Werewolf by Night. I'm going to be there.
Exactly.
I don't like vampires.
There's a Red Band edition of that one, too.
Yeah, so
there's, it looks like they're going to do a couple other Red Bands.
Yeah,
so
and I would say we sold out very fast of the first issue Red Band.
So show up early.
Yeah, if you want one, put in the order or show up early. But those ones, I feel like, are going to be going fast throughout the whole run.
But
people like their gore.
Yeah, they do.
America.
Am I against it from a marketing standpoint? Yes, I think the book should just be that gory to start. But I understand from a salesman aspect.
Yeah.
You know,
but also kids.
That's the thing. Kids like vampires. Kids like. I mean, that's. Kids like Call of Duty, and they're not supposed to be playing Call of Duty.
Well, I mean, if a book says it's mature, then I would hope
that
parents buying the book for a
that's like a rant for another time. But
it's not a rant. It's just an observation. I'm not gonna rant.
It's an observation rant for another time. But definitely. I think why the new stuff for Marvel is slow. It's the big events. 90 plus issues, possibly triple digits. So
So there's like an X-23 title. There's the Werewolf by Night.
Yeah,
Jubilee.
Yeah, the Jubilee one. I'm like excited for that one. Yeah. Like, I'm excited for that one.
That was the one that makes the most sense.
Yeah. She got beef with vampires. She was a vampire.
There's an Amazing Spider-Man one they're doing that's like has Morbius, which is
that makes sense. Like the ones that are like, this makes sense. It's like, okay, you know what? That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. But any other Blood Hunt? We want a Blood Hunt.
That's all I can remember.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much the standout. It's just Werewolf by Night, Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, The Blood Hunters?
They're doing the Midnight Suns.
Okay, Midnight Suns, that makes sense.
That one's probably gonna
be. There's gonna be a Psylocke one, but I think Psylocke one would be coming out before.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, okay, cool. So now moving on to DC. First one we're gonna talk about is kind of, I guess it's almost like a what if.
Yeah, basically.
It's Robin Lives. So they did this recently where they had like the unprinted pages for like if Robin survived.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is gonna be like actual extra pages that are new that is like showing an alternate timeline where what would have happened afterwards if Jason lived. Like what would he have done after he got out of the hospital and stuff.
Yeah.
He was all fucked up.
Yeah, this was like first printed one, like I know before the show we were talking about the animated, like, you know, Choose Your Own Adventure one. So I'm gonna be interested to go do that route where Bruce dies and then Jason takes up the mantle.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting, or he just takes on the Red Hood persona like right away.
Anyways.
Do we know if it's gonna be a one shot?
I think it's gonna be an ongoing. The DC preview in my
team.
Robin Lives number one. So
guys, some gal.
Jam DeMatteis is writing it.
Oh shit!
Okay.
Jam, and then the art is being done by Rick Leonardi. I'm not too familiar with his work, but
the preview art looks really solid.
Take my word for it.
I mean, you can swing by, pick up a preview.
Yeah, I love Under the Red Hood. That's one of my favorite DC movies, period.
My favorite Joker voice. Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, that's fair. That's bad. And there's also going to be a really sick Mike Mignola variant this series.
Wait, hang on.
Which Mike Mignola did the covers for the original four-part Death in the Family series, which, those were fantastic. Again, you'll have to take our word for it, but we'll definitely get a lot of those, probably more than the regular cover, because we're all Mike Mignola fans.
125.
So good.
Is that the 120?
Well, it looks like there's a regular, and then...
I don't think that's going to be
black and white.
Probably, or some bullshit like
that. Wait, no, like, I mean, you know what needs to be in color? Needs to have, like, that contrasty look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so that's gonna be a fun series for any Jason fans, any fans of death or lack thereof.
What? Sandman's gonna be tied into it? Death showing up? Oh my, what?
Let's go. Speaking of death, Dark Knights of Steel all winter. I really love Dark Knights of Steel.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. Such a banger.
Killed it with that. And the artist that always botched her name.
Yeah. Flash it up on screen.
It's Poutry, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, Paquette.
Yep.
It's Paquette. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you were right the first time.
No, I'm pretty sure it's. I'm gonna have to fact check.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's Tom Taylor is back on the writing. New artist, but the art is sick and it fits the theme. And it's about Deathstroke in this world.
And honestly,
winter's coming.
Yasmin Poutry.
Yeah, props to them. They could have done Deathstroke looks like a pirate, so we're gonna make him a pirate. No, they made him a Viking.
Viking makes way more sense.
It's such a rad helmet. Yeah. Dude, the cover's so sick.
And he, even though he's a Viking, he's still like a sword for hire. Like, he's still like just going around like doing shit for money.
Which makes sense because I mean, been reading a bunch of like Viking stuff.
Bro.
Like, there were some Vikings who were just like, I'm gonna be a sellsword because like, you know.
It's their own version of a Roman.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
But so that's that one. Pretty exciting. Next, we're going to move on to Joker the World, which they did a Batman the World one. So pretty much it's just going to be it's going to be a bunch of short stories, all from creative teams from different countries. So there's like, Germany, Spain, Czech Republic, a bunch of places in Europe. It's all over the world. It's really cool. It looks really rad. It's all so many different kinds of art. Some looks more cartoony. Some looks really kind of weird. It's exciting. It's really cool. I always love being exposed to art from around the world.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see like the world's different perspective on the Joker.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because like, you know, just their take on it. Like when I heard, you know, the world, it's like, okay, is France gonna do like a mime Joker or something? Or
that'd be kind of sick.
That would be cool.
Do you like Jack Nicholson when he had like the mime look in 89?
Where in the world do these international jokers come from?
But yeah, anything else you wanted to say about the Joker?
Fun little exploration.
Seeing like everybody's take on the Joker.
I'm not mad at more Joker.
Yep.
You know, I always get somebody who's like, I love Joker. Way more Joker.
Yep.
Hey man, I've always been one of the, I get why people have the whole like Joker fatigue thing where they feel like Joker did too much stuff.
I like what he's done well. I won't ever have fatigue if a character is written well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
if you have a good pizza every day, you're not gonna get tired of pizza.
So next we're gonna talk about the next big DC event that's happening.
Yeah.
Absolute Power.
Yeah, it takes place after the new House of Brainiac thing that's going on, and by the time this comes out, maybe it'll be over, or at least towards like the end, like the last two issues, maybe.
More than likely.
Yeah, and then that's going to be leading pretty much straight into Absolute Power, which I know you know.
Yeah, like a little bit. Pretty much, yeah, it's just, you know, hinting at, so, you know, after the big thing, last event, you know, they're hinting, Amanda Waller's doing like a final plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just to basically be like, hell yeah, humans. We don't need, like, you know, gods, aliens.
Yeah. But she's, like, stealing the powers from superheroes and, like, using them against them.
Yeah, I also know, like, the at least what they're leading up to in the mainline Batman title is, like, Zurnar, which is, like, Batman's, like, failsafe if he goes a little too wacko or whatever. It's kind of taken over, and then it's somehow implanted itself into this like robot body. And
is Zurnar or Failsafe?
No,
Zurnar.
Yeah, Zurnar.
Oh, right. So Failsafe was a whole other thing, but then Zurnar took the body of Failsafe, and then took that over, and it's doing its own like Batman thing.
Basically fusion,
and then Zurnar somehow like accessed these other Batman Zurnars from other realities or whatever,
which they hinted at,
and then I guess he's been building these like amazo bodies to put those other Zurnar Batmen's consciousnesses into, and I believe that those are going to be the conduits for which Amanda Waller is going to put those powers into of the superheroes.
Yeah. That's too much.
Yeah. Ramon's head is just exploding.
Evil Batman bad.
That seems like every movie
that
they come out with this this creature technology or whatever, and it immediately backfires.
Batman. It's funny because like ragging on like, you know, the Blood Hunt, where it's just like it's a simple plot that's spanning almost 100 issues, and meanwhile Amanda Waller's crazy ass plan.
Yeah, it's like
it's
give me something simple that I can latch. I can't do all of the like leading up to type stuff. It's just
the main event's gonna be the main event.
You know, it might be cool. Off. I mean, it's Mark Waid writing it. Mm-hmm. It's Dan Mora doing the art. So
Dan Mora.
They've been absolutely killing it on their World's Finest run. So
they're like one of the best duos, I feel like.
Yeah, no, it's right, they're like literally the power couple.
Well,
I would like
next
Art
Tom King
and
Jared.
Yeah.
That's true. Tom King and Jared have been.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching this and you have not read Batman and
Brave
and Bold winning cards,
so good.
Read it. It's
yeah,
really
good.
So good. It's it was printed as a bunch of short stories in Brave and the Bold like singles, and then they released a trade in a hardcover that collects all of them together, and it is one of my favorite Batman stories.
It's fantastic. It's
great.
I mean, legit, I have not. There are so few like couples in comics that just consistently put out some of the best and just most genre pushing works in comics, and I feel like King and Jared's are just one of the few groups that are just consistently just putting out bangers.
Is that our last last DC book?
Well, we have one more DC book that will lead us kind of very perfectly into our indie books.
Because
it's a DC Black Label book, and it is...
Nice House?
Yeah, yes, Nice House.
It is a sequel to Nice House on the Lake, and it is... Nice House by the Sea. That's what we're getting. So, from what it seems like, it is... So the whole thing of the first one, a bunch of people are brought to this house at the end of the world.
But no spoilers.
And they're all kind of living here, and they're stuck. Mm. And this series is another house full of other individuals who have been taken to a house and are trapped there at the end of the world. But it's a different group of people. Somebody else brought them here. But it's like kind of one of you, I think you said it before we started filming, it's almost like a... It feels like a Fallout kind of situation where it's like these different houses where they're doing different kinds of
experiments.
Or like seeing how these people are reacting to these different situations.
Yeah.
And it's like each house is controlled by like one person. And this one, unlike the last one, since the last one was by a lake, this one is by a sea.
Next one is probably going to be a nice cabin in the mountains or something like that.
Nice house by the stream.
Right, it's like nice house in the world.
World.
If they're going to wrap it up in the third arc.
Which what it seems like.
If you haven't read the first one, it has a very open ending.
Nice house by the puddle.
And my theory is that they're just going to... This is like made to like push for like HBO. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Nice house in the middle of the streets.
But it's more James Tynion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and same artist too, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully it's just going to be consistent one, no crazy long break.
Like
the last one. Like, great series, but yeah, no, that break
I really think the first one had some rewrites.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it took off so well that DC was like, you can't just wrap up this story.
Yeah,
that, you
know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because that reading the last two issues felt like, a change of pace.
Yeah. I need to finish. I've read the first half, but I haven't read any more of it yet. But that leads us kind of perfectly into our indie section, which is going to be our last section of books.
Nothing too crazy.
Yeah. The first one we're talking about is a horror anthology series called Hello Darkness that's going to have a bunch of people, including people like James Tynion. He's going to have a story in it. Garth Ennis is going to have one. Anybody else?
Wow, it was a bunch.
I have
it. It's a bunch, and it's going to be an ongoing anthology series put out by Boom. Boom is like killing it, with all the horror titles. I'm killing children,
Ryan Azzarello is also doing it. The cover looks super like pulpy. It feels like it's going to have like a really very interesting. But Boom always puts out interesting books.
Yeah.
So I picture like this is gonna be a real mixed bag of different styles.
Yeah,
this is just an anthology series. They didn't say that it's gonna be anything like what's another one? The Silver Coin.
Oh yes.
Where that was an anthology.
Oh,
same
that was really good.
But that had like
connecting threads.
One connecting thread. This seems like it's just a straight anthology. Into the Darkness, right?
Hello Darkness.
Hello Darkness.
Like the song, Hello Darkness, I have an old friend.
Dang, I didn't...
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
On to the next one. Is a book we've talked about a couple times, I think at least once or twice on the podcast already, is the new TMNT.
Yeah.
Which looks really fun. We don't spend too much time on it, but pretty much new series continuing off of the last one. There's going to be a prequel book that comes out that takes place like between the last IDW run and this one, that like leads directly into the new number one, and then like each issue up through number four of the new run, like each one is going to be about a different turtle. So the first one's like Raphael, and the second one is I forget the order of it, but I know for sure the first one is Raphael.
I mean, flipping through the final 150 issue, just reading through it, like they just tied up everything to the point where it's like, okay, now everybody has new jumping on points.
Yeah, exactly. Like, which I'm excited about, because I haven't been reading any of the new TMNT stuff, and I like Jason Aaron a lot, and I've always been a really big... And honestly, the new TMNT movie really kind of re-sparked my love of TMNT.
Great.
Like, Nickelodeon's just been planning stuff out with the Turtles, because it was hey, new Turtles game, cool. Rise of the TMNT, cool, banger. Mm-hmm. Then, like, the movie. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Then they re-released all the Konami beat-em-up games. Like, literally, like, yeah, they were just building that hype train. Mm-hmm. Now we got a new comic series. Like,
yeah, so if you've been intimidated to jump into TMNT, you know, now you have no excuse because it's all new number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a perfect jumping in point.
Yep.
Each turtle is going to have a different artist on it, too.
Yes, they're doing, like, one-shot specials, I think.
Or is it
going to be a miniseries for each turtle or one-shot?
No, it's one-shots for each turtle.
Yeah.
Well, it's not one-shots. It's, like, issue one. Issue two.
And then, like, I'm gonna try. I know Cliff Chang is doing the art for one. I think Raphael Albuquerque.
Yeah. Jason Aaron's writing them all.
Talent that they're getting for the at least the I don't know who's gonna be doing the like they, once it's like TMNT number one. I don't know who's gonna be doing like the mainline art for it, but the each turtle story issue is gonna have some really fantastic talent.
Yeah, and I'm assuming the one-shots are just going to catch kind of everybody up on, like, here's the major moments that each of the brothers went through in, like, the last series.
That would make sense.
Yeah, yeah. And then they greenlit that last run in live-action movie.
Yeah.
So this is probably them trying to prepare the world for more TMNT.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's also the last run in game.
You're getting a bunch of last run in.
Yeah,
so,
like,
yeah.
Wasn't there some more news about that or something? They finally got a studio or something.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm more tripping out of over live action,
which is
movie.
Wild.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's wild.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
that's gonna be way different.
I hope they do a practical turtle, dude. I know it'd be crazy, but
that would be cool.
And I would love a practical.
It's possible.
Turtle.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
with modern like you know makeup and prosthetics,
yeah.
it is possible to make it look good. It's,
yeah. And then next book we got is a fun little throwback. It's a new Flash Gordon book. Just looks like a fun throwback to old school pulpy.
They've been throwing it back to the you know they got Dick Tracy out.
Dick Tracy
they
was
got,
good.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Tracy
was good.
I need to read it.
I feel like there's another one that I'm trying to think of. That's like the
right. There's like one more.
Yeah.
There's one. Yeah. It's like it's Dick Tracy. Well, I mean, I feel like you know Transformers,
I hope
G.I. Joe,
back Phantom.
Oh, Phantom would be good.
Oh, Space Ghost.
Yeah,
Space
Ghost.
Dynamite did Space Ghost.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I just mean like
oh,
the, like
bringing back.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like now they're doing a lot of like modern takes on you know like classic
'80s
and
'70s.
Stoked for Popeye.
Yep.
For our next title. We got another kind of another throwback. They're doing a new Witchblade.
Like,
yeah.
Witchblade. I am.
If you're a '90s kid,
yeah. So,
which I think most of you are.
Yeah, '90s or like late 2000s. There was the Witchblade anime. Like a lot of Mother's Day picks with the main character one. like Mother's Day drop. Like the anime was great. Like it very cheesecakey, but the story was great. It was literally just single mom protecting her daughter. The series, like. It was fun times. Well, yeah, I'm very interested. They're changing up the Witchblade design,
mm-hmm.
so it's more of like a weird onesie armor, like gold, white, like you know,
mm-hmm.
color scheme. Because like original Witchblade, it was like a metallic, bony color to it. And it's one of those series where I wanted to hop on because at first I'm like, oh, horny teenager. But then looking into it, it's just like, wow. They put a lot of
the
lore
behind
the
it.
Lore
is
like
Silvestri doing the art again?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's a new team.
Different team.
Mm-hmm. And he has a cover though.
I would. Like, yeah, I think he has at least.
Yeah,
like, there's like 10 covers for Witchblade.
Yeah, it's
so
10 covers, but yeah, it's
definitely looking to pre-order.
It's weird.
Covers.
Yeah, it's weird to say it's a cheesecake series, but with deep lore. Like
yeah, and if they're bringing her back, they're probably gonna bring back Darkness
yeah,
eventually
Darkness,
because they are connected.
Yep.
There's a video game.
They did
yeah,
do a video
yeah, they did
game.
Do a Darkness.
I never realized that was all fucking connected. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're in a movie.
Yeah, they did a movie.
Yeah, they did.
I don't remember
a
movie.
They did like a Darkness movie. There was a Witchblade game apparently also in the works, but that got canned.
There was a live action Witchblade show too.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, it was more like a detective series.
What was that?
It was like late '90s or something like that.
Something like late '90s, maybe early
2000s. But yeah,
probably
no,
like late '90s. I remember I was like in elementary school.
Like the Witchblade TV series. Yeah, no, it was literally just a crime drama because the main character in the original Witchblade, she was a
detective.
Yeah, detective.
Yeah, so that's still kind of standing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Darkness, he's, like, part of the mob.
Mm-hmm.
That's not or, yeah. I thought his design was really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're, like, they're, it's a male and female, like, counterpart to this, his armor. And, like, it,
mm-hmm.
I guess it, if they ever were to... So,
yeah, know. It was like, it was crazy, almost
you gotta keep them away from each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
It was like Greek mythology levels of like lore and stuff.
That's
because it was stuff like each like, you know, primordial element has a representation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a representation of light and then there's the darkness and the Witchblade is like a fusion between those two. It's crazy almost lore. Like you go on the Witchblade wiki, and it's just like, why is there so much lore? It's like,
damn,
just, you can basically write a thesis on, like, Witchblade.
Yeah, they were probably, you know, wanting to do more, mm-hmm. like, movies and everything with
it. Which makes sense, like, and that's kind of, like, I think why the Witchblade series, like, persisted. It's just a lot of lore. It's not just, like, cheesecake.
It's not just cheesecake,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of cheesecake.
There is a lot of cheesecake. Yeah, it's
her cheesecake set in so long.
I mean, it's like you're getting steak and cheesecake.
It's a weird combo.
It's a very weird combo, but that's just Witchblade.
Makes sense. Okay, well, let's just move on to our next book. Next one is there's new Powerpuff Girls.
What?
Yeah, it's
Kelly Thompson's
what?
Writing it. Yeah, so she's been writing a bunch of different series for a long time.
Yep.
So she's got good range. It's Powerpuff Girls, so it's
yeah,
fun.
No, it's great.
I'm lost on the artist's name, mm-hmm. but like it's pretty true to the original series.
Yeah,
it's Dynamite,
yeah.
so you know they'll have a bazillion covers
mm-hmm.
for you to pick from too.
Yeah, no, and I mean it's probably hyping up, so there's gonna be another series coming out.
So
yeah, I know Craig is working on it, if I remember right. Yeah, no, he was down at. Yeah, him and Lauren were at Gallery Nucleus doing a signing. Got to meet them in person. Very nice people.
Nice.
Very amazing people. Like, I would love to have them, like, over to do, like, signings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, no, so new Powerpuff Girls. I mean, I grew up with it. I know. Yeah, John, G's husband, absolutely loves the series. Like, it was...
It's a staple.
It's
yeah,
a staple.
And they've been mm-hmm. they've been dropping all kinds of different merch for Powerpuff Girls lately, too. I see for, like,
yep.
shoe brands and different, yeah,
that's right.
Those
yeah.
vinyl toys.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're doing something with Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Other than the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I'd
mean,
love a video game. That'd be fun.
Oh, that would be great.
Game.
Like, yeah, just
so fun.
A beat 'em up, like, you know, something like, you know, like Turtle, like TMNT beat 'em up game, but with the girls.
I was gonna, well, speaking of video games, that kind of lead the one of the last books we're gonna be talking about is a tie-in to the Borderlands games, which is gonna be Tiny Tina's it's a Tiny Tina's Wonderland. So that's gonna have a series.
I had no idea that that was
I'm
just like, oh, a Wonderland book.
It's kind of weird because I was also on a Borderlands binge with like lore and everything, like I need to finish up three. But
so, pretty much what I remember, it's like the Tiny Tina's Wonderland, because Tiny Tina is a character in Borderlands,
mm-hmm.
and they made a video game, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, and it's pretty much...
Well, it was based off of
a DLC in
DLC,
Borderlands 2.
Which people absolutely loved.
Yes, where
so
it's like them playing D&D.
Yeah, Bunkers and Badasses.
Yeah,
yep.
and it's them playing game with Bunkers and Badasses.
And, like, people loved that DLC because it was pretty much almost like do a powerbomb. It was like the Stages of Grief, but through D&D.
Hmm. Yeah, and then they made a whole video game.
Yeah,
and it was with like a Wonderland.
Yeah, Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Yeah,
and then so this comic is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be like take place after the video game.
I'm wondering. Yeah, if it's like another game session that she set up.
That'd be cool.
Like,
it's probably going to be something fresh.
Yeah.
I mean,
because like I would assume new campaign and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really cool.
The movie's coming out. There's rumors that 4 is in the works and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even play 3. But
mm-hmm.
cool. And then this kind of takes us into our last little segment, because I know you want to talk about some trades.
Oh, yeah. There were just a couple coming out for mainly DC that I thought would be
after DC.
Worth talking about. So the Batman Dylan Dog series, which if you haven't been picking that up, The last issue is going to be coming out this week, or
it'll be out by the time the
series will be wrapped up. But it's been a fantastic series. Dylan Dog is an Italian comic book character, which I don't think any of us knew about.
Yeah,
him.
None of us were familiar with, but I am familiar with Della Dera. He's the artist for some of his films, The Children. And I was like, oh man.
Yeah,
insane.
I remember.
The art in this series has been incredible. If you pick it up, take it up just for that. Yeah, the trade's going to be coming out for that in
soon.
I think that's, is that August or September?
Dude, I remember walking in when we got
September 10th is when the trade drops.
Yes.
Definitely check that one out. Another one is Wii 3 is coming out
with
20th anniversary deluxe edition by Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely.
Oh shit,
that,
Frank Quitely?
Yeah.
No, it's really good. Like, haven't read it. It's very tear-jerking. Like, if you're a pet owner, like, you're gonna cry. Like, it's very, very, like, sad kind of premise, very melancholy. It's about three animals who got experimented on, and they're basically used as government tools for various missions. And their former handler basically sets them free, and they're out in the world kind of just finding pretty much a reason to be. And the government doesn't like that, so they are hunting them down.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's something sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely,
yeah.
Can't go wrong. Let's see, was there any? Oh, they're doing a Batman Arkham Saga omnibus.
Ooh,
that's so
awesome.
That's collecting all of the Arkham comic book tie-ins to the video games. So that's going to be pretty sick. Anything else?
Well, there's a non-DC trade that we'll end with.
Yeah,
oh,
I saw one that was
like
Goomon, beginning of her. That's going to be a horror Peach Momoko story.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, cool. That sounds
cool.
Okay.
But, and then the last one we're going to talk about is a trade that is a printing of one of Daniel Warren Johnson's web comics, and that's Space Mullet, which is a sci-fi action adventure by Daniel Warren Johnson.
I love you, Daniel.
There's more need to be said.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It's
Space.
I think it.
I
think
space
it is his first like
big book.
Big book. Yeah, like I think that was
series.
His first series.
So sick.
Yeah. So that's really looking forward to that. I have not read that series.
No,
I've read for all this other stuff except for that one. So the fact that it's finally getting printed. I feel like he's entered the spotlight with all of his recent works. He's really been putting in the work, and I think it's showing now. He's definitely more in the public eye in the comic world, and
he deserves.
I am very glad because he deserves all the praise, if not more.
Hopefully with this coming out, maybe we'll get a official printing of what is it, Old Luke?
Oh,
the little ones.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
they go
the official one because I'm wondering.
Dude,
that's true.
There's a collection of like six of his like mini comics that he gives out to people for like $700 on eBay.
Wow.
And I want to die.
I was lucky enough to meet him at WonderCon last year, and I picked up some of those. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
They do sell for a lot, so that would be sick. But
come on, Marvel.
We just
or Disney. I don't know.
We love
somebody.
We love you, Daniel.
Yeah.
So much.
I think that's the only way that we could end the show is just by expressing our love and gratitude for the work that you are
one of the best
putting
comic creators out.
Yeah.
We love you, Daniel, and I think he has another series that's gonna
he's working on
right now. So
that's why he probably took a break from Transformers.
He's still writing it.
Really interested in that. Check out his Fridays with D-Dubs. I don't care. I will plug anything that you do, Daniel, on this podcast. I will use my platform for you.
And so next month for Daniel Warren Johnson's
fantastic.
And also shout out to the Speaks Geek podcast.
Oh yeah, yes, shout out to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's probably the thing.
As we're plugging everybody else except the people that are helping us. Like,
we're
terrible.
To make sure that happen. Let me bring it in.
Yeah.
And plug to our wonderful team that is shooting this.
Yeah, no, they've helped us out immensely. They're right there. I mean, like, if we could turn the camera around, we could. And,
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for watching this episode. If you made it this far, that's crazy. Thank you.
If you haven't subscribed to the channel, YouTube, or any of the other listening,
like, comment, subscribe,
make sure to check us out on all the other platforms as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, hey, maybe you have a different experience listening to it.
And hit that notification bell.
And if you're just like, comment,
smash that subscribe button.
You can check out the shop at Comic Book Hideout.
Everywhere. Like, I mean, Instagram, if you're watching this and you're out of state,
we got while it's still up. Twitter for some reason.
Yeah, no, if you're out of state and you're like, man, these guys are cool, I want to support them. We got a Hip Comics like site.
We have over like 10,000 listings.
I checked, it's like over 20,000.
Over 20,000 listings. And so we got a bunch of stuff. If give it a little look, see if there's anything you're interested in.
Yes, superhero bins and license bins have been wrapped up. Like, horror bins also, so
Well, anyways, thank you guys so much. I hope you have a great rest of your day, whatever you're doing. And thank you so much for watching the Pre-Order Power Hour, guys. Have a great one.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace out.
Pre-Order Power Hour, the Comic Book Hideout podcast, is hosted by Ramon Cazada, Nate Basil, Nathan Smith, and Mark Garcia. It is produced by Glennis Speak and Bryce Rankins. This episode was edited by Ramon Cazada. Logo designed by Nate Basil. Find us on Instagram at Comic Book Hideout. The opinions voiced by the hosts of this podcast do not necessarily reflect that of Comic Book Hideout Incorporated. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.